The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Another day, another ship off our WA coast with COVID-infected crew members. This time, it's BHP chartered cargo ship, the Vega Dream, carrying millions of dollars worth of iron ore. One crew member has tested positive, and two maritime workers who boarded the ship before the diagnosis haven't yet been tested. Our borders are closed to most of the public, except for those with exemptions. But this is the second time a cargo ship pertaining to the mining sector has threatened WA's COVID-free space. Joining me now is the AMA WA President, Dr. Andrew Miller. Good morning, Doctor. Is it just a matter of time now before COVID gets back into WA?
Good morning, Jenna. Yes, it is just a matter of time. And we need to understand how our capacity to track and trace it and to deal with it in the hospitals has evolved since we just closed the borders.
In terms of the fact that this is now the second ship that this has been popped up off our WA coast, and given that the Port Hedland port is so busy, one of the busiest in the world, in terms of contact tracing and things like that, should we be worried that this could potentially have the impact could come down to Perth as well?
Well, yes, we should, because none of these systems are tested and the government's been pretty quiet about the actual details of how it will all run. You know, we have confidence that they really want to do this right, but it's failed in other places, and particularly in Victoria with their contact tracing, just wasn't able to keep up with a community outbreak there. So we want to understand why is it different here, and I suppose why we haven't had more preparation in the Port Hedland Hospital.
That's one thing that they keep talking about, because we've had two of the members from the previous crew come down to Perth to seek medical attention. What needs to be done? Because we had the Premier out yesterday saying, look, if when we do open the borders, businesses may face restrictions to keep everyone else safe from COVID. Is that just a first step in one of the next plans to when we start to live life as we used to know it?
Well, look, I think what we need to do is get really smart about how we're going to deal with this, because we're still a long way off from a vaccine, and for many people, even another few weeks is going to make it very tough of not having borders being smarter than they are. What the hospital needs to do is to explain how they're going to have green zones, red zones, all of the appropriate PPE and a bigger workforce than it has if they get an outbreak up there. And what are the plans for evacuation? Because whilst I can see them dealing with, say, 1 to 5 cases fairly easily, it's when it gets up to 10 and then 15 cases all in a hurry that the whole thing can break out way too quickly. So those kind of we can't wait until it's actually happening, and we can't always be sending the Western Australian Medical Assistance Team up there, because while they're there dealing with 1 or 2 people who are sick and then a bunch of people who are positive but not sick, then there's not going to be a problem. It's really when we've got our back turned and an asymptomatic seafarer comes into that port, somebody gets on the ship when they're not supposed to, which seems to almost be compulsory, and we get an outbreak into the community. That's what we're really worried about, and not just in Port Hedland, but in all of the regional places. We don't think there's been enough delivery of what the government want to do, which is to provide great processes and PPE and good workforce everywhere. We don't think that's been delivered yet.
Have you heard from many of your charges up in Port Hedland? Because I guess this is now Groundhog Day for them with this new case. Are they feeling confident that they can look out for both the infected personnel and also the general public up there, considering it is quite it's a very diverse community? You've got the Indigenous communities within an earshot. It's all very precarious.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I would say that the management of the hospital are confident. And I would say that a lot of the doctors are way less confident than the people who report to the minister. So while he's getting a rosy picture of what's happening up there, I can tell you people who've worked in Hedland and people who are working in Hedland tell me that they're extremely concerned because there's a trust deficit between the clinicians and the management, not just in this hospital, of course, but right across the West Australian health system, because we're used to them reporting good news while the wheels are falling off.
Yeah. That's a really, really terrifying thing to hear. We heard in the budget last week, Treasurer Ben Wyatt, they've done some modelling around what the cost or what the likelihood of a second wave could cost the West Australian community. We'll see a shutdown of 6 weeks, which could wipe $5.6 billion from the local economy and also wipe out 30,000 jobs. 6 weeks of lockdown, do you think that that is a little bit too harsh or they've just got it right?
No, I think that's the only thing Australia's really good at is closing borders and locking down. We haven't shown that we can cope with 10, 20, 30 cases of COVID a day anywhere. New South Wales seem to be pretty good on their tracking and tracing, and then they shut down not just those contacts but the second generation contacts as well. And I don't know if we have that capacity here in Western Australia. And it's pretty extraordinary that what they're worried about is lockdown and what they're worried about is spread of COVID, but that they have not increased the funding into health to deal with things like GP preparedness and aged care preparedness, which are usually Commonwealth matters, but when they fall apart, they're obviously going to be the problem for the state health system. That's what brought Victoria down. So a bit of an investment there would seem to be wise if what they're worried about is a second wave. Well, it would really be our first wave, to be honest, in Western Australia. And, you know, if we're sort of all banking on this idea that the vaccine's going to arrive in time before that happens. But I don't think that's by any means guaranteed. And I think that we could easily go down the path of Victoria. And what worries me most is that in Victoria, when it all did hit the fan, all of the ministers and all of the bureaucrats were then all pointing at each other and saying it was somebody else's fault. And I got a premonition that I don't think WA would be much different when the problems do occur here.
And your premonitions have always been right. You were the first one to call for the borders to be closed, Dr. Miller. In terms of this modelling that they've done, if the first wave was to hit, they are basically saying that this won't impact the mining sector. But the fact that all of the cases that have been bubbling up around COVID over the last couple of weeks have involved the mining sector, do we need to make sure that people in that industry are making precautions there at front of mind for every single worker?
Well, look, I think they are, and I think the private corporations I have a lot more faith in because they've got a much better attitude towards worker safety. So in Victoria, we saw that it was the healthcare workers actually that ended up the most infected and that prolonged the lockdown. They had 3,500 infected healthcare workers in what was, by international standards, a relatively small outbreak of COVID. So they really do not have the worker safety that they need, and that's why we've been pushing for an inquiry into Broome Hospital, where we could see that they're just very vulnerable and not enough preparation there. And that's going ahead, and full credit to Health, they've responded. But it was after a letter from our lawyers to say that we need the kind of PPE and the kind of protections that they take for granted in the mining industry. So I think that the miners are well ahead of the government. They're testing their workers quite regularly. They're providing them with top-level PPE. I can tell you there'd be no miner going near anyone who's COVID positive without a properly fit tested N95 respirator on. And yet that's not what our health system provides to the doctors in the hospital there. They tell them, well, sure, the patient's COVID positive, but if they're not coughing or they're not having a procedure done, then you don't need to wear the full gear. And that, to me, is how the thing will get out of control.
That is absolutely bonkers. Dr. Andrew Miller, I know you are a very busy man, but we really appreciate your time on the West Live. President of the AMA here in WA, I'd really like to catch up with you again in the next couple of weeks to talk about other initiatives that weren't included in the state budget. So we'll chat to you again soon.
Well, look, it's always happy to talk to you, and I know the government's riding high on popularity, and people don't want to be chipping away when they're doing a very good job. But the thing is that we can improve a lot of stuff, Jenna, and I look forward to talking to you about it.
Absolutely. Dr. Miller, thank you so very much for your time.
Bye for now.